Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You going to join us for the podcast? Yeah.
Okay. Can you see him in it? Super cute.
Yeah.
So last time we were here podcasting together, we were about to hit the road and go on a big trip and sell our farm and sell everything, and a lot of people thought we were done homesteading for good, which we weren't. We thought we would do an update episode so that people knew our new plans for the year and what they have to look forward to with homesteading and everything else.
Yeah, it's amazing how much has changed since then. What month did we do that episode?
We recorded that at like the end of September.
Okay, so the end of our farming year.
As always, when September, October comes around, you're tired from the year, we had a lot go wrong, and we were frustrated, and we vented, and we know we sounded pretty negative. A lot of times I've thought about pulling the episode. We left that episode up because it's a beautiful portrayal, it's an honest portrayal of how most people will wind up feeling eventually on their homestead. At some point, they're going to feel like just quitting.
Right, you'll feel frustrated and discouraged at some point.
And what usually will happen is, at most, you'll take a little bit of a break, and then if it's something that you love, you're going to come back to it. And that is what this episode is pretty much all about. We have not only come back to the idea of farming for 2017, we have some huge plans for our homestead. And we're going to talk about all that today. First and foremost, we're not done homesteading. The plan was never to quit homesteading. Originally, we were just going to take a short break, go on the road, and learn from other people's homesteads and what other people were doing across the country.
And the reason we listed the house was because we were researching and interested in moving to another area of the country to buy a bigger farm homestead that would be a little bit more affordable than the area that we live in.
Yeah. One of the downsides of Connecticut is land is expensive. And really, even at the end of last year, we still wanted to own a bigger homestead. Mostly, not because we wanted to grow the farm much, but I love owning a lot of property and the privacy, the hunting and land management aspect really appeals to me. So we were thinking of moving out of Connecticut and selling the house.
Have a conversation with me.
Okay, I'm sorry. So we were planning on moving. Before we could list the house, we had to prepare the house to be shown. So we did a little bit to the inside. Outside, we got rid of some animals. We did sell our sheep and our goats. We didn't just do that because of this trip and the plans. Over the years that we've had goats, I have seen time and time again, they are very hard to be a profitable enterprise at a homestead level. So we both kind of talked about it, and we agreed that it was time for us to be done with goats.
They're hard to profit from on a homestead level and hard to manage with the property we have the way it's set up right now.
Same with sheep. So we didn't sell them just so we could go on the trip. We really got, we rehomed our sheep and our goats because they weren't a good fit for our goals here on this homestead.
The sheep actually went back to my aunt's farm. So yeah. they just had a brief vacation in Connecticut and then returned to where they were
this
from.
This was fun. They took the summer in Connecticut and headed back to Pennsylvania.
We minimized the farm and we minimized the house. We had the big tag sale.
That's right. That was fun. We had a big tag sale. Did pretty good. We almost made $1,000 from a tag sale.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice. And we got rid of a lot of stuff, just cleaned the house out. And we got everything ready to sell. The house was ready to show. The farm looked better, had less to care for. And then we listed.
We didn't sell the house. We had a lot of interest for this time of year, especially in the winter. But we had a change of circumstances in our family and our employment, which has got us staying in Connecticut for at least a few more years.
Our realtor felt very confident that we would eventually sell it.
I'm confident we would eventually sell it too.
Yeah.
Because we realized we wanted to stay in the area, we were looking at some other larger properties up in northern Connecticut.
We like the idea of moving a little bit more northern where it's a little more private. But the properties that we saw that were within our price range were literally a step down from what we have right now.
Yeah, it would be starting over for the farm.
And with very little, maybe a little bit more land, maybe a little cheaper in taxes, but the houses were in bad shape. And we realized that we don't want to step down. We'd rather, if we're going to buy a new farm in Connecticut, make it a step up. And now's not the right time for that.
Right. So if that means waiting a few years, saving up, and then relisting, we can wait and do that instead.
Yeah. But meanwhile, the homesteading bug that gets us every year, you know, fall, you're tired, you're worn out, and you're thinking like, oh, I need a break. Middle of January in New England, and you're just like twiddling your thumbs thinking.
There's a reason the hatcheries and the seed catalogs send out their magazines in January. Because they know.
You notice it's like right after the holidays.
Yeah.
Now you're sitting there, nothing to do, nothing to think about. And boom, catalog. And you start paging through.
And you do. We save them. We sit on the couch and we look through them. Like, oh, that looks nice.
Pull out the centerfolds.
We should do that this year.
Look at that rooster. Beautiful. That means this year is going to be a little bit different than what we thought back in October. We have officially taken our house off the market, which means it's affecting our plans for our trip. We don't want to leave our house for 6 months. That's too long to be paying somebody to watch the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Our trip is going to be shortened, and we'll update people on the trip as the time grows closer with more details. Still going to go on the trip. We still want to take the kids cross country, but it will no longer be a 6 month cross country road trip. And as we realize we're now no longer going to go on such a long trip, and we're getting the homestead bug, we're starting to think about the farm year, the gears start going, and we started coming up with new ideas of the things that we want to do on our farm and on our homestead this year.
We have a lot of ideas for this new year for our farm, and we learned a lot of lessons last year about what we don't want to do and things we want to improve upon.
That's one of the big things, the takeaways from the last couple months here with homesteading. If you're a homesteader, you're going to make mistakes, things are going to go wrong, and you're going to get frustrated. But if you learn from the failures, if you learn from the mistakes, then they were okay,
yeah,
as long as you learn from
it. Don't treat it like it's the end all to your endeavors.
Yeah.
You may have an animal die. It may be your fault, but don't treat it like, don't throw up your hands like our six-year-old does. Don't throw up your hands and say, oh, I'm just bad at this. Forget it. I quit. Which we wanted to do in September. That was...
And of course, I mean, that's natural. You're gonna... Don't feel bad if you've been there where you're like, I quit. I want to stop homesteading for good. But, you know, take a breather, walk it off, and then learn the lessons. Don't repeat the same mistakes.
Right.
So with our new plans for this year, everything is based off the lessons we learned last year. One of those, probably the biggest lesson we learned is that if we're going to be heavily into livestock, we need better pastures. the biggest problems we had, which we talked about in that other episode, was losing animals because of the worm issue and losing animals because of having poisonous plants in areas where the animals were.
Right.
And so we have learned our lesson. We need some nice pastures that we are with good fencing, animals can't escape from. And we need enough pastures where we can do some rotational grazing. We like using the movable electric, but that's hard to use when you're like putting it in the woods and in the briars and in the thickets. It's much better to use your movable electric within hard fenced squares. I had a video on YouTube where you'll see me like calling the goats and running across the farm, and most would follow, but if you're losing animals along the way and then they're going for poisonous plants, it was, our homestead was not set up for ruminants.
Not that many.
Not that many. We could handle one or two. Right. We could not handle. So we learned our lesson, and we have some plans to change that.
Another issue we had was the accessibility. Reaching the barns in the middle of winter was a real issue. So with that many sheep and goats through winter, we needed to have the hay deliveries, which was hard to do when you had 2 foot of snow to pull up the truck to unload the hay.
You know, if we want to run a dairy, which we like the idea of a dairy, we go back on that from time to time, and we had the dairy goats, the hard problem was, just keeping them well in hay. And with that snow, we didn't have a road to the barn.
Right.
Now, we didn't put the barn there. That wasn't where we chose to put the barn. The barn was already there when we moved in, but there was no road. So we have all these lessons learned. We need better usability on our farm, better infrastructure, better pastures, better roads. In the years previous, we have spent probably two-thirds of our time focused on the animals and maybe a third focused on the infrastructure. The biggest lesson, the biggest takeaway from our first 5 years of farming, infrastructure is king. Focus two-thirds of your efforts on your infrastructure and one-third of your effort on the animals, and that will make your animals, you'll only have to spend one-third of your effort on the animals because it'll be so much easier if you have the right infrastructure.
That means this month, January, we're sitting down and we're walking ourselves through everything we do on the farm or want to do in the future, and we're saying, how do we improve upon this? What have been the issues we've had in the past, and how can we resolve them with some changes to the infrastructure or changes to the systems that we have in place?
A lot of these things, when we moved into this property, there were already buildings. There was already a road. And because they were already there, we just started using them. That's the smart thing to do. You have a building, put it to use.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
But when the people laid out this homestead, they didn't lay it out for what we had planned. And so what we have come to realize is just using what's there was good enough. But as we grow, we don't have to keep what we have. We can make changes, and we can change it for the better. And we can start planning better systems based off, you know, good permaculture principles. We don't have to isolate things. We can find the way different animals and different goals of ours can work together with the land. And we can design it all much, much better than what was already laid out for us. So this year we're focusing on form and function. The infrastructure, the design of everything, and how these systems are going to work for us.
First, there's simple repairs that need done. We have a barn with a leaky roof that Austin's got to get up there and find out what's going on and fix it.
We go back to that two-third principle. If you have most of your time, if two-thirds of your time is spent on the animals, you don't have time to do repairs.
Right.
And we've had these repairs that have been glaring us in the face that I just haven't had the time to do. So we're going to flop that this year.
Those are things that when I see, when I go out to the barn, and this is a big bone of contention with Austin and I. He's doing the most of the work last year because I was pregnant and then I had the baby. And I would go out when I could to feed the goats or get the eggs. And I would see these problems around the farm, this leaky roof or this door that won't shut because it's off the hinges, and it drives me nuts. So I would come in and say, why can't you fix that? Why can't you do that? And he's already working hard enough, hours every day moving around these sheep and goats with the electric fencing. So he's getting irritated because I'm nagging him about fixing a certain thing. So last year we're bickering a lot, and this year we are determined that it's going to be a better year.
I keep saying this is going to be the year that we farm together good, that we learn to farm together, because our styles are different. And that can be tough when you're, you know, when you're trying to do this farm homestead thing together, but one of you wants things to be this way and the other that way.
One of them wants things to be beautiful and clean, and the other one wants them to be profitable.
Yeah.
What would they?
Yeah, I'm like the CAFO guy, and you're like the
permaculture. You want to save money on everything, and I just want it to look beautiful and be clean.
That's a big point. It's funny because that's how it really started back in the beginning. You just wanted a nice little chicken coop, and I wanted to
make money,
raise 50 more so we could make money from it. And those are different goals, and they have different outcomes. We all see the way CAFOs look, and we all see the way, you know, someone's beautiful garden looks, and we're going to try this year to, like, meet in the middle and have a beautiful, profitable homestead. It could be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And that's our goal for this year, form and function. Have it look nice and work good. You want it to look nice. I want it to work good.
I want it to.
You want
I
it
want
to
doors to close, and I don't want a roof to leak. Like,
I know.
That seems reasonable.
It's pretty reasonable. So we have a few really big projects planned to improve the looks and improve the usability of our homestead and of our farm. And honestly, these plans, this is the biggest year yet for infrastructure on our farm. So I'm really excited.
It's because you're home now.
Yeah.
So you have the time to devote to this kind of thing.
And one of the big differences I've learned, last year we said, hey, I'm home now, let's get more animals. But again, animals are everyday time. This is, hey, I'm home more now, let's devote it to infrastructure, which will then make my job easier on the day-to-day thing.
It's not as much fun.
I'm excited about it. Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
It's exciting, but it's not as fun as saying,
no,
oh, we're going to get sheep.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, let's move some earth.
We're going to get some T-posts.
Move some dirt.
Yeah, I'm excited to get back in the next community.
Hey guys, just a quick break from the show. I wanted to tell you something kind of exciting. It's a new way for you to help support the Homesteady Podcast without spending an extra dime. Next time you're going to go shopping on Amazon, before you go to Amazon, go to amsteady.com. That's A-M like Amazon and steady like homesteady.com. You'll instantly be forwarded to Amazon's website. But in that millisecond that you're forwarded there, Amazon will log the fact that we sent you there, and we will receive an affiliate bonus should you buy something on Amazon. It costs you nothing extra, not a penny, but a small amount of what you spend will be given to us so we can continue to produce the show that you love at no extra cost to you. Just head on over to amsteady.com, buy whatever you were planning on buying anyway, and we will make a little bit of money, which helps us keep the show going. Every little penny helps. So next time you go shopping on Amazon, remember, am like Amazon, steady like homesteady.com.
So the big projects are a new poultry house, a new pig house, a complete new layout to the farm, the road, new paddocks, and also we have to get a livestock trailer. Mm-hmm. So let's start at the top, the new poultry house. This whole idea started a brainstorm because you wanted me to clean the duck house.
So everybody remember this. Ask your husband to clean out the duck pen and see if he'll build you a totally new one because he doesn't want to do it.
Our duck house is... We moved into the property. It already was there. It was like a little kid's playhouse. But it's not great for what we need it to be. It was designed for children to play in. So it's short. I can't go in there and stand up. Every single time I'm in there working, I slam my head on the roof. And it's like you know, I'm bending over and prying up the bedding. So I'm done with that. I don't want to do that anymore. A new building.
All on YouTube trying to find out ways to keep your duck coop cleaner.
That was the first thing. I was like, all right, how do we prevent it from getting this bad? But nobody had any good answers.
No.
If you have a good answer of how to keep ducks nice, please tell me. Because they mat down their poop and it gets solid and hard.
It's wet and yucky.
We started brainstorming and now we have a brand new design for a really nice poultry house.
Which I'm excited about because the chicken coop we have now, the ducks in, it's starting to collapse.
Yeah.
The foundation is falling in and it's becoming underneath there a cave of rodents. Rats and mice are living in there.
They've been chewing holes and burrowing.
Yeah, the feed naturally attracts them and yep. I will be excited to bury all that.
And there's no foundation on it so they can tunnel right up through it. The roof is leaking now. It's an old building and it's had its time.
Yeah.
We've had chickens for 6 years now, ducks for a couple years. After having the animals for that long and using what was already here, now we've been able to learn what we really want in a chicken in a poultry house. And so this new building is going to be a really good sized building. If you picture it as a big square divided into thirds, the two outer thirds on each side are going to be the coop areas for two different separated groups. So we can have chickens on one side of the building and ducks on the other. Or we could have turkeys and ducks, meat birds, egg birds, however we want to divide it. It'll be built in. And then down the center, we'll be able to access all the nest boxes. We'll be able to store feed.
Another thing we want to be able to do there is brood chicks and a secure draft-free area.
And not in our basement.
No, because brooding chicks in the house, other than the fact that our cat would probably eat them, is the smell.
Can you picture that YouTube video?
Once those meat birds get, a couple weeks old, they really start to smell. You can clean them out every single day, but that smell, you still have it in your house.
And ducklings, too.
Ducks.
Very wet ducklings. So we want to get the brooding outside. So this new building will have a spot to do brooding separate from the other animals. It'll have a concrete floor, so it'll be easy for us to scoop it clean. And one of my favorite parts of this whole design is the far back wall of this building will actually open up. It'll be a little trap door that we can open up and hinge open, and so we can scrape out all the stuff we want off the floor, pressure wash it, clean it beautifully, and then close it back up tight. So this coop I will be able to clean very easily.
We're very fortunate because Austin's dad is a construction guy. He's built houses for 40 years. He's been building houses for 40 years, so we'll have his knowledge and expertise as we do this.
Yeah, and make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel because we're going to show the videos along the way of all the stuff we're doing and you can learn from those videos. But it's going to be really nice. So this poultry house will be easier to clean, nicer to use. It'll be rodent free because it'll be a concrete foundation and then the wood right on top of the concrete. You know, we won't have to worry about the rodents. Won't have to worry about predation. It'll be a beautiful, nice poultry house. The animal that I love to do each year is pigs. And so, of course, this year we're going to get a bunch of pigs back on the farm. We have noticed, again, over years of doing this with what we had, some of the problems we had, the biggest problems with the pigs were moving them throughout the farm, because pigs don't really...
You can't push a pig. As soon as a pig knows that you want it to do something, he plants his feet and gets suspicious.
Yeah.
And to be honest, if I was made of bacon, I would probably be suspicious too, if anybody wanted to move me anywhere.
An improvement that we're going to do, we're going to put a new pig... pad, a new pig housing area.
And when you say pig pad, it's basically a concrete rectangle that you're going to pour in the ground with posts and fencing poured into it to make it
escape
super, pig proof.
We do pasture our pigs, but we need a good house pad to bring him in on the farm to take him away.
Yeah, you need something like that in case you have a pig that's sick and you need to catch it. First of all, it's much harder to catch them in pasture than it is in a pen, to sort them, give them injections if they need it.
Last year we saw that. We had our pigs get sick. We needed to give them shots. And the current pig house, pig pen, a pig pad, is a square. It's a big, giant square. And you'll notice with the square, you can't corral animals. They're running all over the place. So this new pig pad will be a rectangle, a long rectangle. There'll be a housing area where they can go and get protected from the rain and get shade. There'll be water and feed there. But if we need to corral them onto a livestock trailer or off, it'll be much easier to corral them because it'll be a rectangle. So that right there is a huge change. And we can use that same structure for any new animals coming to the farm. It'll be like the gateway to the farm. It'll be a long rectangle concrete pad with fencing built in that any new animal can come and be corralled into the rest of the farm. So I'm really excited about that. This pig pen is actually going to be in a new place. And the reason why is it's going to be the gateway to all our new pastures. We're going to do a ton of earthwork.
We mentioned already how we had an issue with the goats and the sheep about not having enough pastures to be able to successfully manage them and still keep the worm load low.
Right.
Even though we were doing herbal wormers, because there were so many of them, and we were having issues with the poisonous plants, it became a problem.
Right. So this new setup, the entire back of the farm is going to be one giant long rectangle pasture, fenced. Split into like eighths when we're done. There'll be the entire back. Right now it is nothing like this.
No.
But the entire back of the property is going to be a giant long rectangle of beautiful pasture. And we're going to make sure to be very permaculture-y about this. I don't want a big monocrop grass thing. We'll selectively place apple trees and maybe some nut trees or, you know, permaculture, brah.
Hugaculture.
We're going to find things that we can plant that the animals will enjoy eating, that won't poison them, and will help with the whole big picture. So we'll have all that kind of built into the design.
To access all of these new pastures, we also have to cut in a new road.
Right.
To access all the outbuildings, the barn that we couldn't get to, the barn that we couldn't get hay to in the wintertime, we'll be building in a new road so that we have access to all of the buildings.
And all the earth we're removing for that new road will then go into fill and flatten our new pastures. So it's a really big earthworks project, and we're going to get a big giant excavator here for a couple weeks.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
And a dump truck and just spend a ton of time moving earth. And again, check out the YouTube channel because you'll be able to see all of this happen.
See Austin run an excavator.
Now, all these infrastructure changes will make moving the animals throughout the farm much easier. It's going to beautify the farm because the animals are all going to be towards the back with good quality fencing. It'll all be a nice unified area. It won't be like a weird pen over here and a burned out pasture over here. It's going to be easier to manage.
We really want this not only to be efficient, to save us time, but we want it to look nice as well. We want to add value to the farm.
And this is our year, form and function.
That's our battle cry.
Form and function!
Super, super intimidating battle cry.
We're going to get a livestock trailer. We've been using a dump trailer to deliver pigs for
years.
I
am insisting on this year. For the last 5 years we've done pigs, we haven't had a livestock trailer. We've been pushing pigs up on a landscaping
trailer. Steep ramps.
And it is a pain in the butt.
Yeah. So it's time. It's time
for a livestock trailer. I'm done borrowing a trailer to take our pigs to market. We're getting our own.
Now, pigs are not the only things we'll be traveling around in this trailer. And when we come back from a quick word from our sponsors, we'll tell you about all the animals that we're going to have on the farm this year, because we are going to have some new ones. Okay, so before we jump into animals, I just wanted to remind everybody, if you live in the area of Connecticut, if you're close enough where you'd like to visit the farm, all these infrastructure projects, there's going to be a few different days where I'm sure we're going to need some extra hands. So we're going to put on some workshops where you can come and help out at the Homesteady Farm. If you would like to come, join us for a workshop day, learn what we're doing, learn why, learn about the setup, get to meet us and spend some time getting your hands in the dirt. Sign up to our email list, and that way you will be informed when we have a workshop. So, anyway, animals. That's what everybody really likes, you know, wants to know about.
That's the fun part of farming, I think. That's where we get ourselves into trouble. We get excited about the animals. We skip right to them instead of doing the infrastructure.
Not this year. This year we talked about infrastructure first. We already mentioned we're repeating pigs. Pigs are our highest profiting animal on the farm with the least amount of work, and so I love having pigs.
I think they are officially your favorite animal.
Yeah.
A pig.
Yeah, I love pigs. And we did a video on YouTube, if you check out the YouTube channel, we did a video about pigs and how much we earn from pig farming. Every year, our goal is to make over $2,000 so that we can receive some tax cuts. If we gross $2,000, we get the tax cuts, and pigs put us over that line easy every year. So pigs will be coming back on the farm, and of course, we'll be getting them from our usual source, some beautiful Yorkshire Landrace crossed pigs, a little bit of Berkshire thrown in there from Tom Dexter, our pig guy, and we're probably going to wind up doing about 6 feeder pigs this year.
Last year, we missed being able to spend a lot of time with the kids on the farm. And this year, we're making sure that they all have their own little project that we can be involved in.
Yeah.
So our daughter is getting a new breed of chickens that we've never tried, the Marins. They'll lay a dark chocolate brown egg, so we'll know which eggs are hers. Our son already has the Araucanas. We know he has the blue eggs. And our daughter will have the dark brown eggs, so they'll each be able to sell their own eggs.
Our son had a great time with his year, his chickens. The kids loved the chickens. They named them. They recognized each chicken. And for homeschooling, it's been an awesome lesson because he's learning about money a little bit about business, making change for people. And he's had such a nice time. And at the end of this year, he was able to save up his money and buy a Lego set that he wanted. We started him last year. Well, now our daughter's that age where he started, and we figured, all right, let's get her going.
She wanted to do rabbits, but when we explained to her that they would be meat rabbits that we would be butchering,
that
she was less than enthused about that. So.
And I was not going to have a bunch of fiber rabbits running around this farm. I don't want to be spinning rabbits.
No, it's the hair, not the actual rabbit.
Oh,
right?
Okay. Well,
you know. Time to spin the rabbit.
Not when you watch those PETA videos. They're spinning the rabbit. Our daughter will have her own chickens. Our son will continue to have his chickens. We're not going to bother getting any more for ourselves. We like to kind of let the kids run the chicken thing.
Except for the meat birds. Right. We'll get 40 meat birds this year to supply us with our chicken consumption for the year.
Yeah, we love doing the meat birds. Pigs and meat birds are my favorite thing, so we will still get our meat bird order. We also are going to dabble in some duck meat this year.
Dabble. Did you do that on purpose?
Dabble with the ducks.
Dibble dabble.
We have Muscovies right now, and some people say they're a great meat breed. I can see that. I also don't believe I could kill our Muscovies because they've achieved very much pet status.
They've been named, which is always dangerous.
They're also nice egg layers. Not the best egg layer quantity, but they're supposed to lay nice eggs. So we're going to do a few meat ducks. We've done them in the past. And in the past, we did the ducks along with the chickens, and we had to butcher everything at once, and it was a lot of work. This year, we're just going to get maybe 5 Peking ducks, and I'm going to butcher them at the right time. There's a certain time period where if you butcher them, it's easier to get all the down feathers out, the pin feathers out. So we're going to get just 5 so I can keep it manageable, and we'll save those 5 beautiful ducks for special dinners throughout the year. So we wanted to do just a couple meat ducks.
Our daughter's doing the chickens this year, and our son is taking on a new project. In addition to his chickens, he's decided that he wants to raise turkeys.
We talked a lot. We did a big family farm meeting and a brainstorm and talked ideas. And turkey seemed like the best idea of all the ones he wanted to try. We knew he could sell a couple. And the goal for our kids every year is to have a little business, a little homestead business.
He wanted, for a business, he wanted to do quail or a horse or turkeys. And
yeah, you can see why we kind of nudged
him. We steered him towards turkeys. We watched a few videos and convinced him that turkeys would be a good profitable enterprise. And he's already sold two of them, I think.
Each turkey poult costs $10. And when you're our son's age, when you're a little boy, and the amount of seed money you have to work with is very limited, because this year we made him use his own money to start his new projects. We figured turkeys would be a great way. He could spend 10 bucks on the poults, trade his work hours on the farm for feed, and be able to sell a couple big, beautiful turkeys at the end of the season and earn a nice profit from that, which will surely turn into Legos.
They're a step up from a chicken in size and expense, but they're a step down from a feeder pig, which for him, he's six. He wouldn't be able to get feed to the pig. The pig would very quickly become just unmanageable for him.
Yeah, it would be my pig.
A pig is a dangerous thing for a small child to be unsupervised around.
One of the important things to us, because we're using this as a homeschool project for our kids, it's important to us that it'd be something the kids can actually do all themselves. And the chickens this year, they've been able to feed the chickens. They've been able to water the chickens. We still oversee and help out with things. But for the most part, the daily chores, the daily chicken chores are all the kids. And so we figured instead of pigs, turkeys would be a great thing for him to be able to manage. Those are the plans for the animals on the farm this year. We're going to have pigs, chickens, ducks, and turkeys. We have a really big year planned for the farm. A lot of big infrastructure projects. We're going to spend a lot of time during spring and summer working hard on these projects. Our trip has been put off a little bit further on the calendar. And as we get closer to our trip actually happening, we'll have updates for you. Like we said, it will be a little bit shorter. And on the trip, we're going to have some really fun live podcast events. And more details will be released as the day gets closer with that. If you want to see these infrastructure projects in person, don't forget, sign up to the email list and we will invite you for some of these workshop days. And if you'd like to see what we're doing on these infrastructure projects, you can check those out on the YouTube channel. Just search Homesteady in YouTube. We're doing like 5-6 videos a week right now. There's a lot going on the YouTube channel that you're missing out if you're only listening to the podcast.
I'm excited for the year. It's shocking how much it's changed from the fall. It's, you know, life changes quickly. We're trying to keep up and go with the flow.
Yeah.
And make the best of every situation that happens.
So we hope you guys enjoyed this update. I think we're going to keep doing, because we have so much going on this year, maybe not every month, but every couple months we'll do an update podcast just so you can continue to follow our journey here on the podcast. Thanks for joining us. Me and some ass in my pocket.
In the great outdoors.